you'd open your Bible to Psalm 34. I remember in Bible college, they would have us practice preach. And I remember I think it was the first sermon I preached in there. I'd preached before, because I did junior church and Sunday school and whatever. But at Bible college, when I went to do this, I preached on the first, I think it was the first three verses. Yeah. Anyway, Glenn, why don't you read here?
Psalm 34, 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. For I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of his troubles. Yes, all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivered them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, yea, his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open until their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and deliver them out of their troubles. All of their troubles. Isn't that awesome? Not just one, but all. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteousness, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keep all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Thank you, Jesus.
Go to John 3. Would someone else like to read? I thought it was supposed to be you.
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a good teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou dost, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot seek the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man born of water and of the Spirit, cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh, of the flesh and flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every man one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou the master of Israel, and knowest none of these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak what that we do not know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall you believe, if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into this world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh into the light, his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things, Jesus and his disciples in the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing at Enon near to Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto the rabbi, He that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom that bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom withstandeth and heareth him rejoice greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is filled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of earth, but he that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that received his testimony hath set his seal that God is true. For whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath giveth all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him, on him.
Excellent. Now would you turn to Luke 15. We'll start with verse 11.
Luke 15:11. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants, and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.
Thank you. Does God love you? I'm asking what you really think. Does God, Father God, love you? Really? Does Father God, thank you, love you? Really? I'm asking you what you think. Does Father God love you? Really? How long does He love you? Forever, never ceases. Do you know that? Do you really believe that? Has God been opening that up to you in the last number of weeks that we've been talking about the love of God? I mean, has it something changed in your understanding? Is there more of a peace, more of a fulfillment, more of a resting? I'm just asking. Seriously. Your whole testimony, brother, up here, what you were basically saying is God has become real in your life. And His love and His care for you. And just by bringing His presence and reading His Word and beginning to let Him wash over you and let it in Him come in your mind and in your heart. It's like it's changed everything. His presence coming into your life has changed everything. And you're not finding the need for all those things that you were having that the world told you you needed because you needed them without God. But with God, you're finding your body doesn't need these things. You go to take them and you're like, I don't need this. I'm doing just fine. Right?
Okay. And I was like, okay, well, maybe this will be the answer, how he answers me, if they don't refill it or something. But they refilled it. And I picked it up and I came home. And usually I'll take one or maybe two right away because, you know, I suffered from anxiety. And I brought them home and I just put them in my drawer and didn't even think about them. And I said, well, that didn't answer my question, but I'm still not anxious. I'm still not depressed.
He gave them to me, and I think he's like, you can take them if you want them, but you don't need
I think it answered your question because you brought them home and you didn't need them and you just forgot about them. Does God want a relationship with you personally? I'm asking each one of you in here. Now, young friend, I need you to sit over here because I got to see your eyes. I can just come sit on your lap, but it would be better for you if I could just see your eyes. You'd probably like that better. All right? I'm not picking on you. I'm doing it because I'm asking you. All I have this morning is a lot of questions. Because this is what God had me write down. Does God, the real God, want a relationship with you personally?
Yes.
What do you think, Julian? Huh? Good. Do you want a relationship with him personally? How do you begin a relationship with him? How do you think? Okay, learning his word. Giving him praise. How do you begin a relationship with somebody unless you meet them? How do you begin a relationship with somebody unless you want a relationship with them? You have a desire. In Proverbs 18:1, it says, through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. The way that I began a relationship with Sue was when I saw her, I had a desire to know her. I have made those noises myself. I know exactly what you're feeling. I know. They don't understand me any more than you. Thank you for sharing. That was so cool. How do we begin a relationship with God? How does God begin a relationship with us? I'm asking you because a number of you, let's take Judy. You met God a long time ago, didn't you? You've known him for a long time. You've walked with him, right? You've heard his voice. You hear him because he loves you and he tells you so and he shows you so. And you love him and you tell him so and you show him so, right? How do we begin a relationship with God? It's got to start somewhere. Number one is, I want you to know, he pursues us. He's pursuing you. There's a reason you're coming here. And he's been pursuing you, big time. He's been pursuing you. He's been loving you. He's been drawing you. If you looked in Jeremiah, man, I don't remember what that verse is. Don't worry, there's only 52 chapters in there. You could find it. And it says in there that he has drawn us with bands of love. God draws us. John 6:44, it says that no man cometh unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. God's been drawing you. God is drawing you. You could try running. You could try arguing. Brother Scott the other day was sharing with, I think, my wife and I, if I remember correctly. I just remember I was there. And he said that God was after him for a number of years, and Scott was arguing and running, but God kept pursuing him. And you know what? That's what's happened in all of our lives, to be honest. We tried going other directions. We tried going other ways. But how do you begin a relationship with Him? Number one, you have to have desire. And He creates that desire. Number two, you have to have a hunger. Because the other day, Lloyd and I, it was his birthday, and the Lord had me take him out to Applebee's for food, right? For a dinner, you know, birthday dinner. We get through eating, and the lady comes up and says, "Do you want dessert?" And I don't know if it was that waitress or the one at the restaurant before, but I said to her, "Where would we put it? In our pockets?" You know, it's like I'm already full. You see, when you're full, you're not hungry. When you're hungry, then you're ready for what's coming. And God had to bring, for example, Sprout to a place, just like me, of desperateness. Had to bring me to a place to where I wanted Him. Because He had been pursuing me for a long time. But He had to bring me my favorite prayer to pray for people. Lord, do whatever it takes to bring them to the end of themselves and the foot of the cross. Because when we come to the end of our own way, see, when you're surrounded by a lot of people and you're having a lot of things, you're like thinking, oh, this is fun. Everybody's laughing and you're joking. Right before I got saved and I was a drug dealer and I had an apartment and I had people coming over to my house all the time and we partied all the time. I was spending $2,000 to $5,000 a week partying. And for a while, it was okay. But it got to a place where it wasn't okay. It was like, I can remember right before I met Jesus, sitting in my apartment. It was about like standing room only. All these people got the music blaring. Everybody's doing drugs and drinking. And I remember sitting there and everybody's laughing and we're all having a good time, or they were. And I was sitting on my couch or whatever it was I was sitting. And I was looking around at everybody and I was so lonely and I was so miserable. And I said, why? I've got all these people. Why? I've got anything I could want. But I didn't have life. I had existence. I had happiness. You know, because you can get happy doing stuff. But I didn't have fulfillment. I didn't have joy. I didn't have contentment. I didn't have life. And that was God bringing me to the end of myself. How do we meet Him? The way God has us meet Him is through Jesus. I know a number of you in here have met Him. But I believe God has told me a number in here don't know Him yet. And how do we meet Him? You see, you can want God. God's drawing you. People come here. Glenn gives me this testimony all the time. Anybody that works the food pantry or whatever tells me this all the time. People come here off the streets. People come here from whatever their situation is. And they say, I don't know why I come here. I don't know what it is y'all have, but I have to keep coming back. And some of them say, I go and get other people and try to bring them here and tell them. We say, what are you telling them? Say, I don't know what they got over there at that place, but you need to come over and get some. Is that what you tell me? Because it's God. This isn't, I've told you, but I'm telling you again. This isn't a normal church. This is a place to bring you to God. Dave can't explain. We didn't pray over him. I mean, we've prayed over him, but it's not like we had some super prayer and he got all delivered. It's like God said, Dave, here I am. Dave, I am what you need. Dave, just pick up the word and let me talk to you. I'm giving you a prescription. That's what God had me say to him. God's given you a prescription. And when he started taking the prescription, which was simply reading the word and being here involved as often as he could. And when he started doing that, he was like, wow, things are changing. But God had to bring Dave to a very scary, desperate place. Because see, Dave, if I remember correctly, you went to college and you're raised in a pretty well off and you're pretty smart and you were doing pretty good. And then the rug got pulled out from under you and you ended up living on the street for 5 years. But see, Dave, he's not just some dumb. He was successful out there. And I meet people that are successful according to this world. I meet people, I go in their homes. Remember the guy that ran for governor, Dick DeVos? Well, we went in his home. I could name all kinds of people and you would go, you met them? Yeah. But it's like I go in their home, and I'm not saying this about Dick DeVos, but I'm just saying it's not just because they have a nice home and they have nice cars and they have guards and bodyguards and secretaries and all of these servants. And what I'm saying is that doesn't make them happy. That doesn't make them fulfilled. And they're not so full that they want to give away what they have. Have you noticed? Like you get around Glenn and he just like is bubbling and just wants to give away God. Have you noticed that? There's some people you run into and it's like, man, they're just like, they're so full they can't even keep it in. That's what God wants to do with you and me. That's what God wants to do with us. But that's what he wants to do for you. Because that's what he created you for, was intimate fellowship with him. But it has to start with you meeting him. And you meet him through the blood of Jesus. You meet him admitting where you're at, admitting sin, admitting our heart and where it really is. Well, I'm not so bad. Really? Ask yourself. I mean, if you want the truth. Don't ask yourself if you don't want the truth. What would you do if there were no consequences? What would you do if you could get away with it? That's, as somebody just said, that's scary. Because that's where our hearts are. The heart, listen to this verse, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things. And the very next thing says, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? When I go to question you, by the way, this little parenthetical thought, when I go to question you or ask you, you know, when I'm talking to you, you know how I make you uncomfortable? Because I ask you questions, you know, and get in your little bubble and invade your life, you know. It's not because I don't like you. It's because I care about you. Don't you understand? Don't you understand? It's because I know the heart is deceitful.
And you can know what you know, but you don't know what he knows. And we've all got blind spots. Oh, I would never. And then you find yourself doing it. Oh, I wouldn't do what they. Uh-oh. I did that. Folks, we need God. And He wants you. It's not like a poster, you know, Uncle Sam, I want you, you know. It's like He really wants you. He wants a real relationship with you. And when you have a real relationship with Him, and you start finding Him loving you, and you start finding out how He believes in you, it's just so incredible. Like I'm thinking of you right now, not having a husband, Joy. And you know what? In Isaiah 54, verse 5, for thy maker is thine husband. He's your lover. He's your provider. He's your protector. In John 1, 4, talking about Jesus, in Him was life. He is your need meter. He is what you're looking for. He's the one you need to escape to, not drugs. He's the one we need to escape to, not television. He's the one we need to escape to, not video games or games on the computer. There's many things that where you could go and escape. But you're going to find bitterness and hollowness and emptiness and hurting. And then you're going to have to get something to cover it. Drugs and drinking and sex and whatever it is. Instead, escape to Jesus. Get to know Him. It starts by you desiring Him. It starts really with Him desiring you and you understanding and believing that. Are we having fun? You see, and it just makes y'all tickly, whatever inside, you know what I mean? And it's so simple. But we got to go do all these other things trying to fulfill and make us happy. And do you see how, I mean, just a simple little God thing in your life? Do you know what I'm saying? It's God. It's Jesus. Do you feel at peace with God? Do you have peace with Him? We've been talking about the love of God for several weeks. Do you have peace with Him? Do you feel that He loves you? Do you believe He loves you? Do you believe He accepts you? Well, what is it you can do to get Him to quit accepting you? Well, what about when you think all kinds of bad things about me and say them about me to other people? Doesn't that make Him quit accepting you?
No. Yeah, we'd be done, wouldn't we? We'd be done.
You know, I'm a good challenge in your life, you know? That's it. Good. I want you to know, I hope God has made it so clear inside of you, because I know you're hurting. I know what this world is doing to you. I know what this world wants to do. I know what the enemy is trying to do to you. I know. And I also know that He's the one. I also know what's coming that you don't know what's coming. I mean, in your individual lives, what is coming choices and distractions and temptations that's coming your way. But what I'm saying is I know what the enemy is trying to do. But I also know that God is bigger than the boogeyman.
Amen.
See, I like VeggieTales, you know. God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla and the monsters on TV. For God is bigger than the boogeyman. And he's watching out for you and me. God loves you. He is a person, a real person. You just can't see him. I can't see you. I can only see the body you're living in for a little while. But I can't see you. You can't see him. There's no difference, except for he's not clothed in a body. You know why? Because he wants us to be his body as the church. He wants us to be so filled with him that, put your arm here. Wait a minute. Put your arm here. Okay, put your arm here. We link up. And we become teamwork. We become a body working together. She can allow God to flow through her and be the part. She could be the neck. I could be the little Adam's apple or something. And you know what I'm saying? He could be the ear. You could be the eye. We need each other. God is wanting us to be his body. So that when people see us, they're seeing him. Mm-hmm. Don't you see God in other people? Yeah. I mean, you may not see him in everybody, but do you see him? Is there people that you see him in? Mm-hmm. And they minister to you? And you know it's got to be God. Let me get that. I understand. Do you feel at peace with him? Are you close to him? Do you feel he's easily approachable? Can you talk to him?
Yes.
Do you talk to him?
Yes.
Do you? Because I want you to know, he cares. As soon as you start talking, as soon as you even think of looking to him with what's on your heart, the burdens, your cares, he stops what he's doing. 1 Peter 5:6. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting all your care, every need, every burden. Folks, I got a whole lot on myself. So as soon as you start talking to me, there's a reason that as soon as you start talking to me, I'm going to take you to Jesus because I can't carry your burdens. I don't know all your answers. I have to just pray immediately and take you to Jesus. Because if I can just get you to Jesus, everything will be okay.
Amen.
He is your need meter. Right, Dan? Big time. That's what was so amazing to me when I met him and I pulled out that $1,000 worth of drugs and I said, you know, I mean, nobody told me this, you know. I pulled it out, I looked at him, and I said, dude, I said, I don't need this anymore. I said, I just met the one you can't get higher than. These aren't going to get me high. They're going to take me down. So I gave him a swirly. I don't need this stuff anymore, you understand? And then because that happened with me, and I was willing to share and let God flow through me to another, now I hear it happening in him. Do you understand? We give what we've received, but you first have to get it from God. Because you can't give. Do you have a $100 bill? Does anybody in here have a $100 bill? Here, you want to give it to me? The only one who can give it is the one who has one. If I asked you for a $100 bill, you couldn't give it to me, could you? Could you? Could you? Could you? See what I'm saying? You can't give what you haven't received. But if you've received, leave him alone. That's, dude, I'm using it as an illustration. But when we get our needs met from God, when I get filled up with love and I give it away, here, I love you, and I just give it away, then it does something inside of him, and then he can give that away. Do you understand? But so often where we go, people are bringing us down, situations are bringing us down. You understand? Where we need to go is to the need meter. Where we need to go is to Abba Father. Where we need to go is to Daddy God. In that Luke 15, somebody read that. You read it? Luke 15, we talked about the father of the two lost sons. And we went over it every week. And if you just look at it, there's a whole lot more that I didn't even share. But if you look at it, here is an earthly father that is representing the heavenly father. And you find that he kept loving, kept believing, kept giving. And even when they went and did everything wrong, I don't want you. As a matter of fact, I don't want you so much. I'm going to a far country to get away from you. And then I'm going to go hang out with who you said don't hang out with and join myself to a citizen of that country, your enemy. And yet the Father never gave up on him. The Father never gave up on him. Never gave up. And kept reaching out. And kept standing at the door with the edge of his property looking. Is he coming back? Where is he? I can't wait. And when he saw him, and he was still a great way off. He hadn't even got cleaned up yet. He doesn't even know. Just saw him. And the Father ran to him. That's my God. That's the God I know. And when I got saved, that's the God I met, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I got in church, I got this, they told me God was this rule book God, you know? He had all these rules. Okay. They're saying the same name. They're telling me all this. And I said, okay. And I started trying to obey all these rules. But when they told me to go pray, and I got alone by myself, I kept finding this real God. I kept finding the Jesus I had met. For a while, the church had me a little bit confused because I'd go to church and it was almost like a different God than the one I was finding when I was by myself. That's why this is a relationship church. That's why we talk about everything being based on relationship. That's why you're hearing people standing up here. If I was asked, Dave or Glenn, are you a public speaker? Oh, no, I'm not. Roxanne, you a public speaker? No, no. But they've got God inside of them. And they want to tell. They want to share what's happened in them. And as we get closer to Him and get to know and have a real relationship. How do you have a relationship with somebody, Judy? Spending time with them? Talking to them? Listening to them? Sharing your heart? Sharing your cares and your burdens and your frustrations and your needs and getting real. There's people in my life that they're surface and I can't have a good relationship with them because they don't get real. Do you know what I mean? And it hurts you Because you keep trying. You want to have a good relationship. But how can you? Because they don't get real. They only stay surface. And it limits the kind of relationship you can have. God bless you. Especially with family. That's who I was thinking of. And it hurts me. And there's people that I want to have a relationship with. I'm thinking family again. And I can't because what they talk about, I can listen to them, but I can't get into what they're talking about. And when I talk about God, they just get quiet and they don't seem to be able to get into what I'm talking about. And it just hurts you inside. I was walking, I was in a place called Cass Corridor in Detroit. It's about an 8-square-block area where the police don't go, okay? And there was a minister, we called him Boo Dog, and he had a ministry down in Cass Corridor, and my son and I went with him one time, because I asked him, I said, I want to see your ministry, and he took us down there. And these are street people, but they're not just street people. They're people that are desperate street people. And a guy was walking across the parking. It's a lot of devastated area. It almost looks like there's war zone or something, you know, there. And this, we're walking down the street, and I see this guy coming across this, like, vacant lot, but kind of a real big area, you know. And I said, hi, and started walking toward him and said something about Jesus. And he yells out, get away from me, you Jesus freak. And, of course, that just makes me want to go to you. That's right, run right to him. Just tell me what I shouldn't do or what I, you know, tell me what can't be done. I'm like, God's bigger than that. Just tell me what can't be done. We're going to do it. You know, mountain, get out of the way. Get in the sea. God said so. We're going forward. I don't care. That's how both the hitmen that I led the Lord got saved. They said, you're the only guy, man, I couldn't kill. I said, it wasn't time for me to die. It was time for you to live. And they said, but I wanted to kill you. I tried to kill you, and I couldn't kill you. Dude, it's okay. And the guy was walking, and I'm trying to say, talk to him about God, and he's like screaming at me to get away from him. And I had a track. I had a piece of paper that talks about Jesus and how to know him, like this. And I had a track, and I walked up to him, and I put my hand out, and he would not touch me. Get away from me! Get away from me! This guy was hurting. This guy was full of fear. He was full of anger. Who does God love? Does God not love the guy? Did God love that guy? I'm sorry. Did God love that guy? Well, who's going to love him? Who's going to let God love that man through them? But there's people that you've gone to school with and people that you live near and people that you'll work with. And you're going to let God love them through you. I can't. I can't reach everybody. I'm not for everybody. Even the one God has for me. Wish God would work through somebody else. You know, a lot of them. I don't care. It's like, it's okay. You don't have to like me. I'm just going to get you to Jesus. So the man's like, get away from me! He's screaming, you know, and as he's getting closer, I can see he's like ready to throw down. That means fight, you know, if you don't know. And the dude was all bowing up, you know. Whatever. And I said, I want to give you this. And he like knocks out of my hand or pushed my hand away or whatever. Get away from me, Jesus freak. And I said this to him, and I want you to hear this, because this is for you. I said to him, I said, right now, you don't want to hear what I have to say. Right now, you don't think you need Jesus. I said, but there's going to come a time in your life where you're desperate and you're hurting and you're all alone and you don't have anybody around you. And you're going to be thinking of hating your life, maybe wanting to end your life. And I said, I want you to know, I want you to take this, because this is going to tell you about somebody who loves you so much, he's willing to wait until you're ready to receive him, until you're ready to hear from him. And I said, just put this on your dresser. Don't throw it away, whatever you do. I said, because when you get desperate, Jesus is going to be there. When you think there is nobody and you want to end it all and you hate your life, Jesus is going to be right there waiting. Now here's this man screaming at me as he's walking toward me. Like I first saw him when he was about as far away as that tree, row of trees over there. And he was walking and he's like screaming at me. But when he got to me and I said these words, because I didn't look at him, I didn't listen to what he was saying. I listened to what God was saying, and God was saying, I love him. And he's hurting, and right now he can't hear that because he's so afraid. He can't hear it. But you just sow this little seed, so that when he gets to that place, he'll be hungry enough that he could eat this seed. He says, and I will meet him there. And the man who, as he got closer, got more vehement, his face got all red, he got all bowed up, looked like a deer in rut, you know? Serious. And when he started getting close to me, and I said those words to him, he reached out and took the paper. What I'm saying to you is, God loves you. If you don't know peace, if you're not resting in His love, if you're not resting and peaceful in His acceptance of you, I want you to know that He does love you, and it's not based on what you do. All of that can be forgiven. All of that can be cleansed. He wants to take out of you that heart that is far from Him, that's full of yourself, that's after everything but Him. It gets caught up in all the glitz of the distractions. And He wants to put His heart in you. And He wants to start it by letting you know His heart for you. He says, I love you. He says, it's not I just have this nice little warm fuzzy feeling. He said, but I'm willing to lay down my life for you. That's what that cross is about. Jesus, God, laying Himself down for us. He wants to bring you into a place of peace. He wants you to live in a place of peace. He wants you to know Him as the comforter, the one who will comfort you, meet your needs. But it's because you want to know Him. We can't use God. It's not like we could deceive Him like we've deceived other people and trick them. Do you understand? He knows your heart. That's why I tell you, and I've told others here, don't, when you lead somebody in a prayer, don't tell them you just got saved because you prayed a prayer. You don't know their heart. But they were crying. Maybe they have allergies. I mean, what does that mean? Well, that one really got saved. They were crying. I've heard so many people say that. I know they got saved. They were crying. For crying out loud. That has nothing to do with it. No pun intended. Do you feel at peace with Him? Are you close to Him? Do you feel He's easily approachable? I want you to know these things are available. Is it? Yes. Judy, does this happen in your life? What I'm saying is, you feel at peace with Him. When you're not at peace with God, you can't be at peace with yourself. Folks, we have got to live in a place where you're going to be miserable. You've got to live in a place where you are at peace with God. Just get it. Bring it all to Him. Bring it all to Jesus. He knows the whole truth anyway. Come and tell Him the whole truth. Pour it out. And tell Him, I need you to help me live there. It's not like we need to do these emergency visits to the cross. You know, every now and then, it's we need to learn to live there. Keeping short accounts. Do you know what I'm saying? Is anybody getting this? Is this helping anybody? Do you feel at peace with Him? Are you close to Him? Do you feel He's easily approachable? What separates you from Him? What hinders fellowship? What hinders relationship? What stops it? The other day, I'm like right in the presence of God for a period of time. I don't know, hour or whatever it was. And it was like, this is like just incredible. And then my wife came to pick me up or we went to go somewhere. And next thing I knew, I was finding myself snapping at her. Has anybody else ever done that? I hope you haven't snapped at her, but you know what I'm talking about? You snapped at somebody close to you. And then all of a sudden, Judy, I realized, where's God? Where's that presence? Where's that peace? Where's that joy? Where's that syrup of His presence? That's what we call it, the syrup. Or, you know, it's like you're in syrup and you're just moving slow. You're just right here with God and you don't need to. You don't want to move. It's like you can't hardly move. And I said, Lord, what happened? And a thought came to me. How did you just treat Sue? But she, take her to court. Now do the other side of the coin. Take yourself to court. Ugh. I dealt with it. And I was back with Him. Because God, how many of you like chocolate? God's more addictive than chocolate. My girls give me chocolate kisses. I love chocolate kisses. So they always buy me these bags of chocolate kisses. And when I go to eat one, they're terrible. They have little strings attached from one to the other because as soon as I eat one, another one is following it, coming right in my mouth. And then there must be another string because that one's following and coming in my mouth. They're like addictive. God is addictive. In Psalm, I don't know if it was in Psalm 34 or Psalm 37, but it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." It's about verse 7. Oh, taste and see. Maybe it's verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Real quick and we're done. Story of the father with two sons. He loved them. How does this apply to you? What's God done with you? He loved them. He trained them. He gave them a freedom of choice. The younger son, there was two different ways they responded. The younger son was rebellious. He went his way. Then he found out he didn't like where he ended up. He humbled himself and he returned to his kind and gracious and waiting and very loving father. The older son was proud. He followed the training, but he became proud about it and self-focused and had an expected praise and reward. But look what I've done. He became judgmental and hateful and condemning and harsh and unforgiving and accusing. Two sons. Have you ever seen one of these two sons? Have you ever seen one? The one who was rebellious and wayward? You ever seen that? You ever seen the one who was doing what's right, but they were full of pride and self-righteousness and condemning and judgmental? Have we ever been like either one? Is there a balance, a way we should be? How do we guard against rebellion or pride? What do we do if we find ourselves there? He loves you just like you are where you are. Yes. You take yourself to court. That's very good. I'm finding myself doing that more. Yes, a lie. No. I know you are, and I'm so glad. Can I just tell you something? We've started like 7 different churches, helped 3 other people at least start other churches. I love this church best of every one of them because I love what I'm seeing and hearing God do in you. Now, many of you, I'd like to come along and kind of get you going a little faster. Or get you to a place a little further along than where you are. But it's like, I am so thrilled with what I am seeing and hearing God doing in you. I am. I love hearing the victory of Jesus in your life. I know you have struggles. I know you have hurts. I know you have pain. I'm telling you, Jesus, it's a intimate relationship. What you're looking for, what you are looking for, is an intimate relationship with Jesus. Living in an intimate relationship with Him. Living in an intimate relationship with Him. Because He's the only one. He's the only one who won't cut you off. He's the only one that will always be there for you. He's the only one that always accepts you. You can't let Him down because He doesn't have expectation in you. He has desire for you. And when you do stuff you know that's against Him or breaks His heart, even when you're thinking it ahead of time and you know, I shouldn't do this, and then you do it, He's right there. Saying, I paid for this for you. I already took your punishment. Because I love you. And just like they're singing, deep and wide His love. He's wide open to you. Wide open to you. I want to do something here today. I want you to close your eyes. And I just want to give you a thought. This cross is an altar. An altar is a meeting place with God. Why don't you come and talk to Him? If you need to, why don't you come and talk to Him at the altar today? Just come. I want more of you. I want to get closer to you. I want to live in your presence. I want to live in that peace. I want to know everything that Harvey's talking about, this love, this acceptance, and I want to live there. I've experienced it. I've tasted it. I know it's true, but that's not where I live. But that's where I want to live. Will you come? Is He drawing you right now? Will you come and pray? Talk to him? You can talk to him right where you are. I just found that for me, it works a whole lot better when I get up and I go to the altar. I did that for 25 straight years. And I kept wondering, why doesn't anybody else do it? And you know what? But I kept watching their lives and I said, I don't want what they have. I want more. Do you want more of him? If he's calling you, would you come? Just talk to him. Just tell him, I want more of you. I need more of you. I can't handle this. I don't want to handle it. I need more of you. I need more of you. I want you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for each one here. I just commit them into your hands. Father, I ask that you would just quicken, make alive your love to each one. I don't care how, if they try to argue with it, that you would just break through their doubt, their unbelief, and let them know, I love you unconditionally, eternally. I know what you've done, and I love you. I know where you're going to fail, and I love you. I love you, and I'm here for you. May they see your arms stretched out wide, bidding you come, because you accept them. Jesus, I thank you for these precious people. I love them, and I just think you're so incredible. Thank you for all these people. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.